Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We've been going through some times of just wondering what you're going to do with the life of Joseph. Some of us have known this story for a long period of time. But Lord, there are principles wrapped up in it that tell about what our soul can, how our soul can prosper in spite of circumstances. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would arrest our minds to the point where we could hear the Word of God. It would permeate anything that, in our life that would allow us to be fulfill your purpose in our lives. Holy Spirit, be our director, be our teacher, be the one who brings us to a place of accountability for all the things you're about to do. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give glory to you for all that you have done, but Lord, even more so for what you will do. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let me put in these words I believe the Lord gave me. The journey to find the road to God's intended purpose for our life may take many different turns as we navigate the obstacles placed in our way by the enemy, or exercise our choices that are driven by our free will to pursue things that we deem important. Hence, the fact is that God's word is the key factor that will keep us on the right track, headed in the right direction, where we will discover total fulfillment and peace peace with the decisions that we make. In other words, it's not random. Believe it or not, the things that you've chosen to do at this particular point, God's not surprised. No, he's not. Now, maybe you're surprised with the result, but God's not surprised. But let me give you these principles, I think, that we can look at. First of all, did you know that each day, as you pursue God's will, you will find peace and assurance of God's love for you? You can never do anything for God to hate you. You say, what? Well, where'd you find that in the Bible? God's love is eternally toward us. Does it mean there won't be consequences? No. You know, I had, all my kids weren't perfect. None of them were, actually. But when I spanked them, it was because I loved them. If you don't love your kids, you don't discipline them, you don't love them. You really don't. But because God disciplines you or allows you to go your own way, God still loves you. Let me move on to the second one. Have you realized that the soil of your heart is the determining factor as to whether or not God's will be able to make the changes that are necessary for permanent changes in your life? We're going to talk about the soil of your heart, but it's the determining factor. And I'll define it through the account in Mark of the various types of soil, and we're going to learn about that in just a moment, of why people don't change, why people remain the same. How about number three? Have you made choices that will allow your soul to prosper in the ways that will bring glory to the Lord? That's only one thing that God has for all of us, and nobody gets an upmanship on it. God wants all of our lives to bring glory to him. Not just the pastors and elders and teachers and all this other type of thing, but everyone's life to bring glory to him. Well, let's get on the journey. True wealth is the relationship we make and the people we influence to become all that God has intended them to be. That's a big statement, but I'm going to prove it with these following words. When we use our gifts to restore the lives of others, we demonstrate soul prosperity. Every gift that you have, every gift that I have, God has deposited in me to make your life better. So what? It's not for me. Now, if you had a voice like Pavarotti and you just sang in your bathroom all the time, good luck with that. I mean, that's nice. But people want to hear, and it brings blessing, and I tell you, and brings solace to many times different people. But unfortunately, we have a selfish vein in us at times, and we just want it all for ourselves. Let me unpack that for you this way. The only worldly wealth that we will take to heaven is people we encourage to fulfill God's purpose in their lives. That's the only thing's going to heaven. None of your stuff's going to heaven. I know you like your car. Baby, we ain't got no place for it. Besides, navigating streets of gold would be a tough time, okay? So, But seriously, the only thing going to heaven is people. Now, I'm not talking about Streisand. People. Never mind. Leave that one alone. They're not the luckiest people in the world. The only people, there's no such thing as luck. There's only God's providence. People say, oh, you're just so lucky. No, I'm not. It's God's blessing on my life. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the providence of God that changes folks. I thought I was going to teach you. I'm going to start preaching. Here we go. Our souls need to be filled with the things that will lead us to being everything that God has placed in us to benefit everybody else. Which means we can rely upon the Holy Spirit for guidance to navigate the things that will try to prevent us from being all that God has intended us to be. Do you know why the Holy Spirit is in your life? Oh, to bring me comfort. Let me speak in tongues. To be prophetic. Those are good things. But do you know what he's there for? Holy Spirit, one time, is defined as the umpire. He calls the strikes and the balls. The worst thing you can hear him say is, you're out. And always take chill for a while. We got to work on you. Well, moving on to this particular place, we're going to go through the gift of grace is always working in our favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. This is what I love about this. This is good. But God, who is rich in mercy, somebody say, he's rich in mercy. In my life. Okay, I just want to make sure we're connecting. Okay. Because of his great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When you were dead. You can cuss out a dead person all you want to. Call them all kind of names. Matter of fact, let me tell you the story real quick. I told the story one time. There was a fellow who went to a man's funeral. The man was dead. Of course he's dead. But he was mad at him. So he walks up to the box man, laying there dead. And he has his glasses on. The man reached in the box, took his glasses off, put them on the floor, stepped on them. Yes, he did. Reached in the box, grabbed him by the shirt, and started slapping. The place was empty. He dead. I don't care how much he cheated you out, he dead. Okay? That's what happens to people who don't let go of things where people, you know what I'm saying? Really? And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The part that you will miss over, and made us sit together. Ooh, God's going to have to fix some of us. I ain't sitting next to her. Now, I may sit in the same room, but next to her, no. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ. God has been very kind and gracious to me. So how can I be mean and indifferent toward you? Well, grace is the only thing that can bring our soul into a genuine relationship with Christ. And that means this, that grace will allow us to achieve our maximum potential every day if we learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. There's this one song, I've had some good days, I've had my bad days. Really? All of us do. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, he'll turn your good day or your bad day into a good day because you know it's because of what Jesus wants. So really, there aren't any bad days. They're just days where the Holy Spirit shows us a different perspective. Say, is that heresy? No. Because if you would say, well, the worst day of Jesus' life was when they crucified him on the cross. You know what? He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about you. Who endured the cross, despising the shame, because so we could have this gathering here today. That's the reason why. We have got to learn to look past the pain to what God has prophetically in the future. It's amazing. Well, grace will give us the confidence to approach others in the world with the message of God's love as a natural part of our conversation and interactions. And you know, one of the things I believe that God is helping me to do, and you think by now I'd know better, but I'm looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus in the middle of the conversation. And all of a sudden, then glory spot. Not for me, but for Jesus. And it's like, and I sometimes say, like, can I tell you what God did in my life? And very few people are going to say no. And if they say no, I said, well, they don't get to know, I guess. But that's how God works it out. Well, here we go. Joseph experienced grace when he made the choice to use his gift to serve others. Now, for those of you who are entering a little bit late on our story, Joseph, you know, he was hijacked by his brothers, thrown in a pit, you know, sold into slavery, gets into slavery, working in Potiphar's house, gets thrown in jail, false charges. Then he prophesies to some people, they get out of jail, he doesn't, he spends a couple more years there. And now, things are turning around. There's some words that I've heard people say in the body of Christ that I really don't really believe. It's my time and it's my turn. Really? And people have made songs about that type of thing. No. Every day is an opportunity for us to serve other folks. And if you're looking for that golden parachute out of your circumstances, it may not come. So the deal we have to realize here is what Joseph has an opportunity here. Joseph experienced grace that he had to make a choice to use his gifts to serve others. There was no guarantee when he comes before Pharaoh that the few verses we read after that. He's been known as a person who has a prophetic gift. He's known to help out other people. The nation is in trouble. The Pharaoh's troubled by some dreams. But here's the problem. My problem. Pharaoh can figure out his own dream. Unless he give me a guarantee, he put it in writing that he's going to help me out of the situation, I ain't going to tell him nothing. And you know something? Some of us are just that bad. We're manipulators. We use our gifts only when we know it's going to benefit us ahead of time. And the other thing is, some of you today need to let go of those things you think people owe you for what they did for you, what you did for them. You don't know how much they owe me. You don't know how much that costs me. I'm going to let go of that. She owe me. Let it marinate. Our gifts are designed to bring glory to God. And there's a statement that Joseph makes that makes it very, very clear that he realizes that, you know, all these things that I have really, really belong to God. You know, and he makes it, you know, he says, don't all these prophetic things come from the Lord? And so, you know, that's what we got to do. We got to acknowledge God. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? You know what that word direct means? He will put you in a direction that fulfillment of his purpose can occur. You know that country resident, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Baby, what was the name of that song you told me the other day? That one that I looked up on the internet. You remember the name of that song? Oh, yeah. Ever heard the song Peel Me a Grape? The ones you're laughing at, you heard it. Oh my goodness! You talk about a song. I'm not gonna repeat it here because it'll ruin your whole afternoon. Google it. And you're thinking, what? You talk about a narcissistic individual. But the story, tagline, "Peel me a grape," ought to tell you a lot. Peel me a grape should tell you a lot. About what they're thinking, how important they feel that they are. Peel me a grape. Really? Okay, all right. Yeah. yeah. I got to move on because I'll get stuck there and I don't want to go there. When we release our gifts to benefit others, everyone will benefit. Pharaoh and his servants. There's always a corporate benefit when our gifts are used properly. Paul went to great extent with the Corinthian church, and he brought some correction to them because they're prophesying, they're having revelations, and they're speaking in tongues and interrupting each other, and a lot of chaotic things. But here's the problem. We've gone to the other extreme. We've silenced the gifts of God because people are stupid. Zip the lips, we're going to do this type of thing. But you know what? We forget what the scripture says. Let all things be done decently and in order. God has order in his house. So that means he says, oh, throw all the gifts out because they don't know how to manage and we're done with that. No, we have to realize we have a responsibility to God. And I believe that even though the gifts were not delivered at that particular point to the magnitude they were delivered in Corinthians, I believe that Joseph had an attitude and idea of what he was supposed to do. So Joseph's interpretation of the dream set in motion a plan that would benefit the whole nation. Do you know that there are gifts that are in you today that could not only benefit this body, but could benefit this city, that could benefit the world? Say, my little gift? I hope you would take the time at some point to read some biographical or autobiographical sketches of people's lives who were almost undiscovered or unnoticeable people, and because of their one decision to look beyond themselves, changed the course of the whole world. I had a pretty long list, and I said, no, I'm not going to historically challenge folks, but you find out that I want to just bring it down to you. You can make a difference. So his obedience using his gifts would benefit the family. Here we go. That had once abandoned him. Wow. Can I get a little hard or personal with you? Grudges are hard things to get over. And if left to himself, Joseph could have been foolish enough to think, you know what? If I give him the prophecy of this situation, he does not forecast in the future because he didn't know what's going to happen. We know what happened a few pages later. He says, but if some off chance that my no good mealy brothers might benefit from my prophetic word and they might come down to Egypt and get some grain to prevail, he says, I don't want that to happen. I'm not going to say anything. The devil's got a hold of you. It's not only going to kill you, it's going to kill the generation that follows you. I want to speak into you accountability, every person in this room, that if God has given you gifts and abilities that will bless this body, that will bless other people, you need to allow Jesus to refine that in you and present those things to the Lord. Well, we will never feel good enough on our own to carry the message of God's love to others. Can I get an amen? Because the devil will remind you of what you were before. You're going to prophesy? You're going to pray for somebody? You're going to get on the ministry team? You need ministry yourself. You need about 7 years to dry out. I'm serious. May I take you to some of the apostles that Jesus ordained to be used? Peter lied his face off. Yes, he did. I don't know him. And then he start cussing. Dag nabbit. I'm trying to fix it for you, okay? I said I don't know him. Then after Jesus is come and has risen from the dead, who's the first person who gets to go to the grave and find out he's not there? Read your Bible. Old loose lips. Old razor tongue. See, God will use people that you would never, ever give another chance. Uh-oh. That means that the people you've written off, God will write them up. And they'll get there ahead of you. Woo! Isn't that a happy thought? My advice to us is we stop being so judgmental of other folks. We don't change the standard of God. God, holiness is right. I'm not minimizing what God, what repentance is all about. But you know, something happened in Peter that changed him. Because you know that same guy, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, guess who ushers in the church? Peter. What is up with that? Couldn't God find nobody else? I would have picked John. John's, he's kind of, you know, soft textured. Nice guy, though. God's going to use you and me. Well, grace, oh, his grace overrides limits, the limits of our flesh. He makes all grace abound for us. Well, I'm going to take you to the part that's going to be the heart of what we're talking about today, that he must take a soil sample of our soul. Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. Get ready for this. And this is irrefutable evidence of what God's doing. And he said to them, "Do you not understand the parable? How will they understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones that are at the wayside where the word is sown." Excuse me. "When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Go on to the next one. "These likewise are the ones who've sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Moving on. "Now these are the ones who are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones that are sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now listen to this. This I hope will change your perspective. We must have this soil that's a sample of your soul. This means in order for our soul to prosper, the word of God must be planted in our souls and allowed to flourish. Somebody say amen. Amen. Good thoughts, praise yourself all day long. I don't care. Or praise the Lord all day. Oh, sorry about that. Praise the Lord all day long. Well, some of us do praise ourselves all day long. It cannot replace the word of God. I mean, some of you feel, oh, just sing that chorus one more time. I'm almost there. Oh, just lift me up. Mm-mm. The word of God is the only thing that will last forever. As high as you feel here, I just feel in the presence of God. You got to come down. Walk it out. The parable is not about the farmer or the seed, but rather the ground and its ability to receive what's being sowed. I can preach this whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but if the ground of your heart is not fertile soil to receive the word of God, nothing's going to change. So say, oh, so you go, oh, I really love that word. Jesus. Did it enter in your heart? No, but it just made me feel. Well, let's look at the word of God. The truth of God's word is constantly being sowed. Our soul will never prosper when we have hearts as hard as concrete. First one is that the seed is good, but it can't penetrate because you're hard-hearted. He said, what? He said, don't be calling me names. I'm not calling you names. I'm just observing how you respond to the word of God. Because when the word of God is going forth and you hear the word of God, but it doesn't penetrate your heart, whose fault is it? Not God's. Who's responsible for the soil? You are. Some of you got a chip on your shoulder and cement on your heart. Word of God can't get through to you. Oh, it's going to get worse. Don't leave now because you know the drill. We'll know. So the word must be able to pierce our hearts and find roots. See, that's the thing that rooted is all about. It's giving you an opportunity to allow the word of God to find root in your life and to grow you into a mature, active believer in the body of Christ that will make a difference in this culture. But you can't have roots when the soil's too hard. They'll die. A little rooted tree we planted outside the door there. Dug up the ground, this type of thing. Put the tree in there. We had to put some water on there. No, we did our part. We planted the tree. It's up to you, tree. Go ahead and grow. Washing by the water of the word. You need some water. Is that right? Hang on. There's more. We must be willing to break up the fallow ground. The Bible, there's a whole teaching on that. We'll get into that today. But the things that prevent the word from taking root. Hearing the word is not good enough because it does not penetrate our hearts and soul, and we will never prosper. Let's go to the next one. Shallow and rocky soil seems somewhat indicative of many believers. Now notice I gave them the honor of being called a believer. Let me define that for you. Some people will allow the word access where there are some sprouts. I tried to grow mustard greens in my backyard. They never got higher than this. And it wasn't their fault. I didn't know what I was doing. But then I found out they were competing with too many other things that were in the soil. I never cultivated the soil. I just threw them in the ground. I'm serious. I'm thinking, are you supposed to cultivate this thing? I said, you'll dig a hole, throw it in, specks of greens, right? Wrong. God is working your soil. God is getting the rocks and the hindrances out of your soil. He's allowing you to work your soil because that's your job. He's furnishing the word, but you've got to have it a place for it to land. And you know the rocks that are in the soil. You know the things that are holding you back. Don't blame God. It's to get to work and cleanse out those things you know that will prevent the word from growing. Oh, I'm getting inspired now. When they hit something hard, this is the seeds, they feel they can go no further. I don't know how many people have started out in their walk with Jesus and just said, oh, you know, it's just so hard. And I had to give up all my friends and no one calls me anymore. And my life was just better when I had my other friends and my new Christian friends. They just don't understand me. And what? Oh, Lord. I'm going one point deeper. Get ready. Hurts and abuses of their past are buried in the soil, keeping them from fully embracing the word of God. About the time you're ready to latch onto the word of God, here comes the devil reminding you of, you know, people have abused you before and hurt you before, and you're foolish to get onto this. You need to work this out by yourself. Isolate and conquer. Well, some are hindered from moving on because of the things that are lodged in the soil of their soul. Some of the things I want to just make it real clear to you that will hinder the word of God is promises that were broken. And you made a vow, I will never trust people again. I'll never trust leaders or pastors or anything associated with Jesus again. Oh, I got my own relationship with Jesus. I don't need nobody else. Okay. It ain't going to work. Because we're a body of Christ. We're joined and fitted together. So, let me move on quickly. Some have good soil for their soul to prosper, but they do not give the seed of the word preeminence over everything else. Ooh. Some of you are in this, I say some of us, some of you, whatever, are in a state of Jesus-like. I literally like Jesus. I mean, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Jesus is not a thing that happens to you. He's your life. But we have him in the portion, he's a thing. Okay, I'm going to sort it out for you. Sundry interests, hobbies, here goes, the big F, football. I said, football? Your day is set. From a certain time on, especially on, they got you on Thursday, got you on Sunday, and any other time they throw in between, and all of a sudden your life changed. Football, Jesus, football. And don't let the Super Bowl come around, honey. You plan weeks ahead of time. Jesus. If it can keep you from making a wholehearted commitment to God, it's got to go. Amen. The cares of this world will weigh down your soul. And some of you will get caught in the corner. Should I, you know, call some people and spend time with them? Or should I watch the so-and-so game? The Holy Spirit said, call this person. And the announcer said, it'll be on in 5 minutes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God after everything else in your life is where you want to be and all these things will be added to you. I just remade scripture, but that's how some of you live. Because Jesus isn't first. Jesus said another scripture. He says, to whom shall you liken me or shall I be equal? He said, where did you find that in the Bible? Look it up. Because if anything comes even close to first place in your life, you got the wrong Jesus. Well, I'm almost there. Some of you ready to relax. But here's the thing about the fertile soil. For those of you ready to just kind of coast in to home plate. Fertile soil in the soul has no guarantee of total success. You say, wait a minute. You know, ground's all tilled, fertile soil. Seed goes in. Yeah. No. I want you to listen very carefully to me. This is not heresy, it's just the truth. Soil must be worked and constantly purged. Plant a seed and don't weed the garden, guess who takes over? Can it be the weeds? Remember the parable where the wheat and the tares were growing together? There's always going to be invasions that try to supplant what God is doing. So the soil must be worked and constantly purged or weeded. It must be fertilized with the truth. Reinforced is a better word. Enhanced. That's why we come to church every week. Some of you, you know, I think I should go to church. And I believe I can fit it in once a month. Get in my schedule. Let me pull out my daytimer. Listen, I could go on the first Sunday. But you know they have communion there. And I could be with the body of Christ, having a little communion, having a little refreshment, and everything would be good. It's true. And some people are like, oh, I can go every other week because, you know, on that opposite week. No, I ain't going to go there, but. But you know what I'm saying. Some of you already went there for me. I got you. Sometime Christianity won't make it. When you schedule God into your program, you have missed it in totally. Thirdly, it must be constantly watered with the word of truth. Well, I'll race through this rather quickly. I just have a few minutes left. Once we reach a point of personal prosperity, we must choose the right path of ministry. Genesis chapter 41, verses 50 through 52. This is pretty simple. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bare unto him. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And he named the second, called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. This is so important. I want you to just really hone in on this, because God is going to speak to us, all of us, me, myself included. We must cultivate a mindset of putting things that have happened to us in their right perspective. Everybody has got a story. Everyone in this room has got a story. Everyone in this room has had things happen to them. Some of them that they wish that had never happened to them. They had no power to prevent. So we all are kind of floating in the same boat. But listen to this. We have to put it in the right perspective. God does not cause all things to work. Excuse me. God does cause all things to work together for good, but we must learn how to navigate our feelings and emotions when things don't feel good. That's on us. As Paul admonished us, we must put things behind us and continue to press forward, like we said, moving forward. But contend with this. God does not expect us to have divine amnesia in relationship to hardship and struggles that we have faced in this life. Just forget about it. Get over it. And I've said that before, and forgive me if I've ever offended you by saying get over it. Because I know you can't in some ways. But listen to this. God will enable you. And God will cause us to forget it. It is a purpose for putting things into the right perspective. Now, here's the other part. We learn to trust God all the more when we go through difficult situations. We really do. The old adage, forgive and forget. Let me help you with that. God will enable us to forgive and forget the hard things that we thought were a sign of failure and abuse. Only if we do it in that order. Forgive, then you can forget. Well, the children that Joseph had, they were testimonies of God's faithfulness and love. Some of the things that we have put into perspective and move on. And then when we have made a choice to put away the bad experiences that he had in his father's house, there was no guarantee that they would not resurface at a more opportune time. He's having some success. Remember, he's the head honcho there in the land. Marries into Potiphar's family, has children. And the children are assigned to him that he's in a new dimension. But that's not enough. Well, God will allow us the opportunity to take a break for a moment until he desires to move us further into his divine scheme. So he's kind of getting a clue here with these two kids to kind of reflect on, God's been good to me in spite of all this stuff. Would you consider this? When we achieve prosperity in the land of our affliction, God is preparing us for greater things to come. And that's Ephraim. In other words, God can and will make us fruitful in the land of our affliction. You're going through hard stuff right now. I want to tell you, you are a dead set person to be fruitful in the midst of hard stuff. Everything doesn't have to be perfect for God to bless you. But some of us say, well, when I get rid of this, and when that happens, and when I get married, when I have five kids, God help you. Anyway, when you have five kids, and all, everything, my life will be perfect. Okay. Alrighty then. But we must. If we fear the success of others will override our personal desires or success, we have allowed the enemy to afflict our hearts with hardness. What I'm saying in that particular statement is, if you cannot allow someone that you think doesn't deserve it to be successful, you've got a problem. If their success bothers you because you feel you deserve it more than they do because of what you've gone through, oh, honey, we got to work on this. What does that mean? It means that the Word of God must have easy access to find a lodging place in our soul in order to take the changes that are, make changes that are permanent. And Joseph had to allow God to move through him through things that seemed almost virtually impossible. He had to enter a process of discovering the grace that really looks like, what grace really looks like when you have control over those who have hurt you or offended you. God is getting him ready for something. And we're going to finish this out next week. But he has these two kids. And when you allow your goodness and mercy to be conditional, you must have a deeper encounter with the Holy Spirit to deliver you from self-imposed religion. Let me repeat that to mean this. If your goodness and mercy is contingent on people, what either people are not going to do or align themselves with you, it's worthless. As a worship team comes forward, I'm going to give you this last scripture. We must employ the grace of first opportunity in order for our soul to prosper. Genesis 42:8. This is the one scripture. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. I'm going to leave it there because I'll introduce this as I close the service today. And just like I said, I'm introducing you to where we're going to end next week. So now Joseph is in charge. He's the head of all the stuff. And guess who shows up? His brothers. And now's his time to get even. I want to ask you a question. If the person who's done you wrong came before you and you had the power to make their life miserable or even to take their life, would you do it? If you have to think about it, you're in trouble. Because your soul is in this place. It's not in limbo, but it's entered the place where we go out to category number one. Your soul, the seed of God's word can't enter your heart. You're like cement. The word can't penetrate because you've hardened yourself from the word. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed. Before I say another word, Holy Spirit, you're the keeper of every heart. I'm not the judge. Holy Spirit, you know the condition of every man, every woman's heart in this place. And Lord, it is way too easy for us to assign judgment to people because of what they've done or because of what they've gone through. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person in this place that you would meet them at the crossroads of where they are and where you want to meet with them for change. Soul prosperity means this, that any hindrance that you know of right now that would allow any bitterness, separation between you and God, and the Holy Spirit brings it to mind, you have a responsibility to confess it to Jesus. And I want to tell you something, the enemy is fighting you like crazy. Because he'll tell you, you can just wait another time, or as soon as this service is over, nobody will ever know, you can kind of retreat back into being anonymous. But I need to tell you right now, God has set you up to be set free. Some of you have never met Jesus, totally met Jesus for the first time. You never have. You listen to someone say, you say, raise your hand or do whatever. That's fine. But until you meet that place where you're really ready to surrender everything to Jesus and allow him to cleanse your heart, even those hidden things or those things you haven't divulged to anyone, this is your day. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I really believe the Holy Spirit is going to craft this prayer, and it's going to go behind the lines. It's going to go to that secret place in your closet of your heart, of your emotions, that door that's been sealed off to everybody. But God is not demanding, but giving you an opportunity for you to give him access to that place where it hurts so bad, where the pain is so deep, where the betrayal was so severe. But Jesus is saying just two words to you, trust me. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And this is a place that I know God is calling many people today. Father, in the name of Jesus, with all the compassion that I know and can measure up to, Lord, I ask the tenderness, the kindness, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit just to overwhelm that person right now, that their heart is just palpitating with pain. The one who made a promise that I'll never divulge my heart, I'll never become vulnerable again, I'll never trust again, I'll never love again, I'll never forgive the person, the abuser of my life, emotionally, physically. But God, I need your help. Come to me, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.